Okay, we're in Gemara, Sanhedrin, Beis Amid Beis. We just finished the Mishnah, now we're on the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to go over the first two clauses of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that dinei mominus, monetary laws, would be adjudicated with a court of three. And then it talks about how theft and injury law is done in a court of three. So the Gemara's basic question is going to be, well, isn't theft and bodily injury part of monetary laws? So why do you have to bring two details of the broader category of monetary laws? If you say monetary laws are with three, then you don't need to say the very next line that theft and injury needs three, because that's part of monetary laws. So why does the Mishnah, after giving a broad topic, saying you need three, which is monetary laws, why does it go into a couple details of monetary laws? It should be part of the original broad topic. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask. And that's going to be the discussion all the way to the next page, Gimel Amud Aleph, to the two dots. And that's what the Gemara asks. Otu gzelos v'chavolos lav dinei momenos ninhu? Do you mean to say that cases of theft and bodily injury are not considered monetary cases? Of course they're considered monetary cases. So why is the Mishnah saying them separately as if they have nothing to do with monetary cases? That's the very question of the Gemara. So Gemara says, you know what? You're right. Omar Rababo. Rababo says, this is how we have to understand these two clauses of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, monetary issues need three judges. Then you read it between the lines. And the next clause goes to, it's a mahen ketanin. It's teaching. So what are those? What are the cases of monetary cases? Okay? When it says thefts and bodily injuries needs three, it's not just giving that as examples of monetary cases. It's saying that that's what the first clause of monetary cases means. When it says monetary cases is three, it means only the monetary cases of theft and bodily injury, which will imply it's coming to exclude certain types of monetary cases that are not in the category of needing three judges. That's the drift of what's happening. So it's a mahen ketani. This is a teaching what are those type of a clause. The clause starts off and says monetary cases need three judges. Now, and what are monetary cases? What is included in that category? Only theft and bodily injuries, to the exclusion, we'll find out shortly, to the exclusion of other types of monetary. So it's not that some types of monetary cases are not with three judges. So therefore, we're excluding that. And now this is how we read it. Mahein dine mominus. So what is included and only included in the category of monetary cases? Gzelos v'chavolos, thefts and bodily injury. So when the Mishnah's clause that says gzelos v'chavolos bishlosha, thefts and bodily injuries are done by a court of three, that defines the scope of the first clause of dinei mominus bishlosha. Thus, the first clause should not be understood as stating categorically that all monetary cases are judged by a court of three, for there are indeed some monetary cases that are not judged in the same manner. The Gemara is now going to tell you what we're excluding from this. And what is excluded? First, they're going to give you the buzzword for it, and then we're going to have to explain what the two buzzwords are. Aval, but, hodaos, vehalvaos, but cases of admissions and loans, do not need a court of three, even though they're monetary cases. Now, what are admissions and what are loans? So, So admissions and loans is another way of saying loan disputes. Loan disputes do not have three. Now, the expression is derived from the different types of testimony that can be produced by the plaintiff. There's two ways someone can make a claim that somebody owes them money through a loan. Admissions refers to where the plaintiff produces witnesses or heard the defendant admit to having taken a loan. Guy comes to court and says, I lent Chaim Yaakov money, and he has to pay me back. And what does he do? He brings witnesses that say, we heard Chaim Yaakov admit that he owes me money. Now, that's a way you can make a claim. That's how the plaintiff can make his claim that he owes me money. That's the case of admissions. That the he has witnesses that the defendant admitted that he owes money. Loans refers to where the plaintiff produces witnesses who saw the actual loan take place. He says, I lent them the money, and here's two witnesses that show we had a shtar and everything, and witnesses and everything, and they signed on a dotted line, and guess what? He hasn't given back to me. So really, it's one category. It's issues of loans, but there's two subcategories in loans. Whether the plaintiff brings witnesses that the defendant admitted that he owed the money, or whether the plaintiff bring witnesses that the loan actually took place. Okay? Now, here's the point. The Gemara later on is going to explain in what way the loan disputes are, how they are adjudicated differently than monetary cases. So right now we think it would mean that it wouldn't need three judges. That's what we'll just leave it at that for now, although that's not going to be the final shot. But right now that's the Gemara thinks what it means. So therefore we have the following. Let's get it straight. The Mishnah starts like this. It says, monetary cases need three judges. Next clause. And what are the specific monetary cases that need three judges? That is cases of theft and cases of bodily injury. And by saying that this is what's included in the clause of monetary cases, that's coming to excluding cases of loans, where loans do not have that same need. And right now we think it means three witnesses. Now, right at this point, you've got an obvious question that can be asked. And what's the obvious question that can be asked? The obvious question that's in between the lines, the Gemara is starting with the answer, so you have to know the in between the lines question. So what's the upshot of these two clauses? Well, basically it's saying that theft and bodily injury is done in front of three judges. So then just say the second clause and don't say the first clause. Why say the first clause that could mislead us and say monetary cases are with three? Oh, but don't think it means every monetary case. Which kind of cases of monetary cases is it? It's only the two cases of theft and bodily injury. Very nice. But why do you gotta say it like this? Why don't you just say it like this? Just what? Say, theft and bodily injury is done with three judges. Finished. And that's the only ones I know. Wouldn't that be a lot easier way to do it, guys? Yeah. So that the Gemara assumes you know the question. And therefore already is giving you the answer. All right? So now, so what do you need two clauses for? Just say the last clause. So Gemara says, Utsricha, we need it. We need to say both clauses if we want to exclude loans. Okay? And we've got to look at it two ways. What if we only said the first clause? And what if we only said the second clause? And how, if we did it each way, we would not naturally come to the conclusion that we want. And that's how the Gemara is going to now say. If the Mishnah only said monetary cases are three, well, that's obvious. If it said monetary cases, we would certainly come to the wrong conclusion. Because Hava Amina, we would have thought that even hodos vahalvos, even admissions and loans are included in this rule, which we're saying is not. So we couldn't have the first clause. Okay, but what about just the second clause? That would be good. Just say the second clause. Therefore, in addition to the first clause, it then says the second clause, Tana, the Tana taught, Gzelos v'chavolos, to say that only theft and only bodily injury is what is included in the category of monetary cases. I am, but now let's do the other way. But let's just say the second clause. No, that wouldn't be good enough either. Let's say it only would have had the second clause of theft and bodily injury. Require three judges. Velok Tanina would not have said in the Mishnah the first clause of Didei Mominis. I could still make a mistake. What would be the mistake? Hava Mina, I would have thought, Hu Hadin, that also, Da'afila Hodos Vavos, even admissions and loans. And I would not have naturally thought that the clause of theft and bodily injury would have been to the exclusion of loans. Why? Because I would have thought the following. Vahai Diktoni Xelus Vachavolos. And I would have said, you know, it's theft and bodily injury and also loans. But why did the Mishnah only say theft and bodily injury? Because that's where the main teaching comes from. Mishum de'ikr gimel diksivi, the primary scriptural source for three judges. Did we yet determine what the scriptural source for three judges is? We have the scriptural source for 23 judges and the scriptural source for 70 or 71 judges. We don't have the scriptural source for three judges. Well, guess what? That is brought in the case of, guess what? Bigzelos vechavolos ksiv. The source for three judges is in the cases in the Torah of theft and bodily injury. And let me just spell out the rest, and then we'll do it inside. Therefore, the Mishnah mentioned those two. I would have mistakenly thought that the Mishnah is mentioning those two because those are the two where the Torah specifically shows me that I need to have three judges. And then I throw in anything else that's similar to that, because after all, aren't they monetary issues? So the Torah gives you an example by one or two cases of monetary, and we would apply it to the others. And I would mistakenly think that. Now, Gemara is not going to show it. Where do we see that by theft, we have a source that the three judges, that the biblical source of three judges is by theft? Xelos, by theft. Dichsiv, it says the following, and let's take a look in the Psukim. Where is the Psukim? Hello, where are you? Why is it? Okay, let's go to Shmos, Chaf Beis, Zayin, and Ches. One second. I gotta put this back in here, you know. Did I say Shmos, Chaf Beis? And Chav Zayin, Chav Ches. No, what was it? Again? No, not that. Zayin Ches, not. Okay. All right, let's back it up. Okay. Let's see what the Torah has to say over here. Well, let's just start from the pasuk, first pasuk. Okay. Let's start with pasuk Vav. Okay. If a person gives his friend money or utensils, lishmor, to watch. This is basically a speech case of guardians, all right, but that, it's in the context. The gunav ni beis ha'ish, and it's been stolen from the guardian's house. Im yimotze ha'ganav, if we find the ganav, yishalim shnayim, he pays double. Okay, but what if im lo zayin? Now zayin ha'chesed ha'psukim, we need to be careful and see how many times it says the word Elohim. Okay? Just count how many times it says the word Elohim. Im lo yimotzei ganav, if you don't find the ganav. So now you go to the guardian and say, what happened? He says, it got stolen. And I don't know who stole it. We can't find the ganav. So now what's the law? The guardian's got to make an oath that he didn't take it. And then he's off the hook, because we're talking about a shomer chinam. We're talking about a guardian who doesn't charge. Guardian who does not charge. If something gets stolen while he's on guard, he doesn't have to pay as long as he wasn't negligent. So it says like this: Im lo yimotze haganef, if you can't find the thief, v'nikrav balabais, and the master of the house shall be brought el Elohim. Here, the word Elohim means judges, and it's not God's name. Why are judges called Elohim? Because it's obvious. Because Elohim in the original context means God, which is master of all forces. So the court is like master of all forces down here. The court is acting on behalf of Hashem to enforce law. Therefore, the courts are called God. And when we're doing it in a court context, we're allowed to say it as it's written because it's not a holy name. So we bring the owner to the judges. So it's Elohim the first time, right? And what does he have to do? He has to make an oath. Imlo sholach yado b'malach Yisrael, to see whether he put his hands on his neighbor's goods. In other words, he's got to swear that I didn't take it. Now, what else does he talk about? He has to swear about al kol dvar pesha, for every kind of trespasser, it means negligence, for the various things that are watched. Al shor, on an ox, al chamor, on a donkey, al seh, on sheep, al salma, a garment, al kol aveda, on any lost thing, asher yomar, which he will say, this guardian will say, ki hu zeh. We're going to talk a lot about those words, ki hu zeh, where he says, to be this. Now look again, what do? Ad ho Elohim yavot varshem. Up to the court, the words of both of them will go. Second time we mentioned the way in Elohim. Asher yarshiun ho Elohim, and the one who the judges shall condemn and make a rasha, Yishalem Shnaim L'Reyu, has to pay double to his friend. How many times in this context of theft was the name Elohim said? Three times. Didn't have to say it three times. What's it doing? This is the source that you have to have three judges. Okay? And what's the case? It was a case of a guardian, but it was really a case where the guy said it was stolen, and now till we find out who the thief is. So there's all kinds of oaths are made, this and that, but it's all one big case where the guy says it was stolen until the judges know who the wicked guy, and he has to pay double. Let us say that it is the guardian himself was the wicked guy. He lied. He swore, and this and that, but he finally lies. You pay double. So what do you see? You got three references of the word Elohim in a case of thievery. Therefore, that's what the source of the case is. So we would think, okay, that's why the Mishnah mentioned you have to have three judges by theft, because that's where the biblical source is found, but that wouldn't necessarily exclude loans, because that's also sort of monetary issues. Okay, now that we have the Psukim, now we're going to read it inside the Gemara, and you're going to see it's going to be a little bit easier. Dichsiv, because it says, and this is all the context we're ready to discuss already, V'nikrav bal habayis el Elohim, the master of the house shall approach the judge. And the next verse mentions judge twice more, as I already showed it to you, right? The threefold mention of judge indicates that three judges are required for this case, which is case of thefts. Okay? And that's pretty, I went through that all. I don't have to go through the notes because I did that pretty good. So there you have, by thievery, the mention of three times Elohim. Now, what we said also, bodily injury. Well, what about bodily injury? Well, we're not going to have a pasuk by bodily injury where it mentions Elohim three times. But this is now just a simple logic. Gemara continues. Chavolos, the law of bodily injury, is very simple. We know why that's considered a primary source. Because mali chaval bagufo, what does it matter when someone injures someone else's body? Mali chaval b'mamona. So what's the difference if you take his money? In other words, what's the difference between hurting somebody? You know, when I steal your money, am I damaging you? Of course, I'm damaging your property, right? If I cut your arm off, am I damaging you? I'm damaging you. It's a financial issue. I mean, there's other issues, but it's the same kind of thing. When I bodily injure you, it's like I'm stealing part of you. So it's just different forms of theft. If you ever think about it, if you injure somebody, it's another form of theft. You're stealing his health. You're stealing his arm. Whatever. So let's look at the note. Once the Torah states the three judgments required in regard to theft, which is tantamount to damaging the owner's property, and it is as if the Torah has stated that requirement in regard to all damages, including personal injury. So now, thus, had the Mishnah stated only the cases of thefts and injury. If the Mishnah would have only have said thefts and injury need a court of three, one could have argued that these are specified only because they are the case in which the Torah explicitly requires three judges. But the same requirement, in fact, applies even to loan disputes. Okay, we would have just said that's another type of monetary issue. Now, loan disputes are not included in the category of property damage. Now, we did say bodily injury is like property damage. So what about loan disputes? No, since the money loaned to the borrower becomes his very own property. When you borrow money from somebody and you don't pay back, it's not like you're damaging his property, because when I borrow something from you, I am now the owner. Now, I just have to pay you back a monetary issue. If you give me money, then I own the money. That's the Shinoh of the law. When I borrow money from you, and I have it now, I'm the owner of the money. So what about you? I've incurred a debt to you. Now, paying a debt is not the same thing as causing a bodily injury or any kind of injury or stealing. It's not stealing. It's just I haven't paid back a debt. That's all it is. Although the borrower is obligated to repay the loan, that repayment is simply the fulfillment of his financial obligation. It is not to a return of the lender's actual property. Thus, a borrower who seeks to avoid repaying a loan is not legally considered to be damaging the lender's property. He is simply failing to fulfill his financial obligations. So let's review this idea over here. So the Mishnah, therefore, is saying like this. The Mishnah says monetary issues, three judges. And what are the specific monetary issues we're talking about? Only theft and bodily injury. But wait a minute. Why didn't we just say theft and bodily injury? Let's just say that clause at all. Because I would have thought that theft and bodily injury, where theft, it explicitly says in the Torah, the source of three judges. And bodily injury is just another form of theft. So that's why the Mishnah mentioned those cases, but it didn't mean to exclude financial loss that comes from not paying back a loan. That's also a monetary issue, and it would also be included in it. But the Mishnah wants to be specific because that's where the biblical source is. And you can't say, well, isn't this the same thing? Isn't not paying a loan the same thing as stealing? No, it's not the same thing as stealing. Denying a loan is denying an owing a debt, which is not anything to do with stealing from somebody. So therefore, that's not sourced, that's not part of the original source. And therefore, when the Mishnah just mentioned these two cases, we thought that's the original course. But that would be the other laws as well. So therefore, we need to have both clauses. And when I have both clauses, then we clearly understand what's happening. And that's what it says. So therefore, Tana, the Tana stated both clauses. The first clause is monetary issues, a court of three. And then it goes painstakingly, Mahein Dinei Mamonis. What are the monetary cases we discussed? Xelos v'chavolos, only stealing and bodily injury. Avol hodos v'avos, lo, but not for loans, admissions, or bringing proof, the plaintiff bringing proof of an admission or the loan taking place in terms of loans. It's not there. Finished. So that's what it came to exclude. Good? So far, so good. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now we're going to ask a very simple question. Moore says, wait a minute. So now what is being excluded exactly? We said monetary cases need three judges. What are the monetary cases? Only theft and bodily injury. So now the question is, and we're excluding loans from that. Now what aspect of this law of jurisprudence is being excluded? So you might have thought, what do you mean? It's talking about three judges. So it's excluding three judges. You don't need three judges in a dispute over a loan. That would seem to be, because the Mishnah said, monetary issues are judged in front of three judges. And what are the monetary cases we're talking about? It's theft and bodily injury, to the exclusion of loans. So Gemara says, now, so what are you telling me? Ulamai, and from what aspect are the cases of loans excluded? So are we going to say what seems to be the obvious? Ilema, do you mean to say that they don't need three judges? You can't say that, my friend, because we're now going to bring sources that say, on loans, you also need three judges. So that's going to be the problem. I mean, if you were up to now, you'd say, okay, I guess you don't need to have three judges if someone disputes if he owes a loan or not. But we're going to see sources that say, no, of course you need three judges for that. So that's going to create the problem. So then what's being excluded then? All right? How do we know from another source that loans require three judges as well? V'amar Rav Abbo. Rav Abbo is an Amor. He came later. So if the Mishnah meant to exclude that loans do not require three judges, a latter rabbi is not going to say that loans do require three judges. That's the problem. And we see Rav Abbo says the following. He says, Shnayim shedanu dine mamonis, if two judges adjudicated a monetary case, only two, L'divra HaKol, everybody says, Ein dinehem din. The judgment is not a valid judgment. So what does that mean? And he's talking about dine mamonis, the overall general statement of monetary cases. So Rav Abbo holds that three judges are necessary for all monetary cases. Now take a look below. The Gemara later on in Daf Hey and Vav cites a Tanakh dispute regarding the use of less than three judges for a case in which the litigants agree to submit their case in an arbitrated compromise. That's a whole different issue. If they're willing to arbitrate a compromise, there's a machlokes if you need three judges or not. There's a machlokes. Rav Abbo observes that the Tanaic dispute is only in regard to compromise concerning judgment. According to the dictates of strict law, however, we're not looking for any compromise. All the time agree that three judges are required. Okay? That's what Rav Abbo is saying. Everybody agrees, if two judges do a judgment where we're going according to strict law, not compromise, the judgment's not a judgment. And that's monetary issues. And he seems to be including all monetary issues. Okay? Now, parenthetically, it should be noted that other Amoraim disagree with Rav Abbo and hold that a verdict rendered by two judges is valid for loan cases. So according to those rabbis, the Mishnah would sing very nicely. Okay? Nevertheless, the explanation of our Mishnah was proposed above by none other than Rav Abbo. But Rav Abbo was the one who gave the answer, right? Let's go back to who was the one giving the answer. Go back, see back, I scroll back to the top. See over here at the top over here? Rav Abbo is the one who gave this answer here. Rav Abbo said the answer to say that we had to write it this way to exclude loans. Yeah, so Rav Abbo is the one who says that in all monetary cases you need to have three. So if Rav Abbo wasn't the one who gave the answer, and another rabbi gave the answer, then the answer is a good answer. Because we have other rabbis who disagree with Rav Abbo that say, yo, other monetary, if two judges do a ruling, it's okay. Rav Abbo says no. And all monetary issues, two cases, two judges, not good. So Rav Abbo, what kind of answer are you telling me? That why do we have to have two clauses? So that make it crystal clear that only theft and bodily injury require three witnesses and loans are excluded. But you yourself, Rav Abbo, you say that everybody agrees that loans are not excluded and they also need to have three judges. Oh. So now we're in a little bit of a bind, eh? Rav Abbo, what kind of answer do you have? So I'm going to say, not a problemo. Ella, what is the exclusion that the Mishnah means? Delo ba'inan mumchin. You don't need ordained judges. There's two types of judges in the days of the Talmud. In the time, there were regular judges who were just big scholars, and there are scholars who had a special ordination that was from somebody who was ordained by somebody else, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a chain of smicha. That's the original smicha. Smicha today is nothing. It's just a use of a term, but it's not the same thing. They have real smicha. When Moshe, before he died, he gave smicha to Yeshua. He put his hands on his head and gave him smicha. And then Yeshua gave to the next. And you always had, and you could give to a number of people. You could give one person, give many smichas. All right? Now that when you're such a judge, you judge much more important cases. You have more, clout, more power. Okay? So the case means that loan cases are different that we don't require three ordained judges. Look at this. That is, they do not have to be ordained by a rabbi who was in turn ordained in an unbroken chain stretching back to Moshe. Could skip the brackets. When the Mishnah states that monetary cases such as thefts and bodily injuries must be adjudicated by three judges, the intent is three ordained judges who have rabbinic ordination and have been authorized to serve as judges by the Nasi. So, the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah means to exclude cases of loan disputes from the need to have judges possessing these qualifications. So now it's like this. Our Mishnah said monetary cases need three judges, means three ordained judges. And what are the cases of the ordained judges? Only in cases of monetary, of theft and bodily injury require three ordained judges. And we're saying all this to exclude what? Loans. So what are we excluding? Not that they don't have to have three judges. They have to have three judges, according to Rabbi Bo. But they don't have to be three ordained judges. It's not as severe a case. Bodily injury and theft is more severe than not a repayment of a loan. So that seems to be the pshat and a good place to stop here. We have not yet started the very difficult Gemara. The very difficult Gemara will start on Monday. So now that's the closure. Up to this point, when it says monetary cases is three, it means with smicha. And what are those cases? Theft and bodily injury need smicha to the exclusion of loans. That still need three, but not with smicha. Up to this point, it's a good stop, play to stop for the weekend.